Wenatchee, Washington, November 13th, 2022.
Chief, we've got a bad situation.
James Fry, the God-fearing chief of the Moscow, Idaho Police Department, picks up the call from Captain Tyson Barrett, informing him of a mass homicide, 4 murders at 1122 King Road. Barrett has the inside track. Ava and Emily, 2 of the kids in the group sitting outside the rental house, work at the football stadium. The Kibbe Dome is under Barrett's purview, so he knows them well. It's Sunday, and Fry is about an hour into the 4-hour drive back from an overnight visit with a friend in Wenatchee, Washington, 150 miles east of Seattle. Whatever has happened, whoever the victims are, it already feels too close for comfort. In the passenger seat, listening, is Julie Fry. The chief's whip-smart wife of 30-odd years also happens to be the newly elected Leda County Clerk. Chief Fry will later say he should have let Julie drive, but now it's all he can do to absorb what Barrett tells him. 4 young people, likely UI students, stabbed in their bedrooms? In their beds? In a residence that's part of a large cluster of student housing right on the campus line? And no one heard a thing? Fry's put in 30 years on the force. The common assumption about small-town police chiefs is that they have no experience with murder, but this is not Fry's first brush with homicides on campus. In 2007, when he was still a sergeant, he worked on 3 homicides in just 1 year. One involved a University of Idaho student, David Boss, who was shot by a former classmate. In 2011, as a lieutenant, Fry oversaw the investigation of another university tragedy. That summer, psychology professor Ernesto Bustamante, who had a history of mental illness, fatally shot Katie Benoit, a 22-year-old graduate student he'd previously dated, outside her home, then, later, turned the gun on himself. Even so, Fry already knows that this one is different. He knows this is going to test the department in an unprecedented way. He also knows that this is too big for Moscow to handle without help. In a rural area like this, there's a general view that it's all hands on deck. He's going to need support from the state, probably the FBI. But first things first. It's not his job to run point at the scene of the crime. When he was a detective, which was not so long ago, he headed up investigations. But now he's chief, and chiefs who get in the way of their teams can really screw things up. His role today is to stay in close touch with his officers, provide whatever support is needed. Part of leading, Fry believes, is trusting and delegating. But Fry knows that when adrenaline is running high, anyone can forget things. So he rattles off a punch list to Tyson Barrett, realizing from experience that his captain is out in front of him.
"Have you reached Bill?"
he asks, referring to veteran county prosecutor Bill Thompson, who has never lost a case. In their parallel careers, the chief and the prosecutor have worked every crime scene together. They meet every single day at 8 a.m. Fry's belief in Thompson, the only prosecutor in Idaho who has ever won a murder conviction in the absence of a dead body, is unwavering.
"On his way," Barrett says. "Forensics?"
The 2 forensics officers, Lawrence Mowry and Andrew Fox, are Fry's appointments.
"State?"
A scene as big as this needs help from the Idaho State Police forensics team, based in Lewiston, about 30 miles south of Moscow.
"On their way. Who have you got there?"
Barrett tells him that Mitch Nunes was the first officer on scene. And at this, Fry blanches.
"My heart broke," he said later.
His 37-man department runs like a family. 22-year-old Nunes is like a son to Fry, a baby. He knows that his youngest officer will never be able to erase from his mind the horrific crime scene that he's just witnessed, that he will be forever altered. And Fry will need to find Nunes and his wife the resources to cope with the trauma.